prayer and your program today on the Ultimate Ground Rules.
But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules, a podcast built specifically to encourage, empower, and strengthen the faith of coaches as they live out their God-given purpose to develop the next generation of leaders. And now, your host, Dave Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules. I am your host, Dave Pritchard, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the podcast today. We would love for you to take a moment to like, share, and subscribe the podcast, or even leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, because it would be a great benefit to us as we try to spread the message of encouragement each week to coaches across the country. Also, a reminder that we do host an online Bible study each Monday morning using Zoom video conferencing software online, and we would love to have you join us if your schedule allows. For more information, you can check out our website at ultimategroundrules.wixsite.com/website, or you can email me at pricho1@yahoo.com. That's pricho1@yahoo.com. Today, I want to take a brief look at prayer and pose the following question to you. How important is prayer in your program? I'm not talking about taking your team hostage in the locker room each day and praying with them. That's not my point. What I'm talking about is, how serious is prayer in your daily life? Does it play any role in the decisions that you make, including those decisions that relate to your program? Maybe that's something that you've never really thought about. But to back this idea up scripturally, I want to take a look at the book of Luke. The book of Luke is one of the four Gospels that you find at the beginning of the New Testament. It was written by a Gentile of the name Luke, who was a close associate with Paul. He was a medical doctor that many believe was a traveling companion of Paul on his missionary journeys. His Gospel is a letter that was written to a man named Theophilus. Luke specifically states in chapter 1, verse 4, what his purpose was for writing the book. He says the purpose was this, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught. So he's saying to Theophilus, listen, this is what you've been taught, and I'm writing you this book so that you can be certain about those very same things. He also says that his gospel, or this letter, is an orderly account. In other words, Luke was very detailed in writing this book or letter, and he did his research. He did his homework. He wanted to make sure that he got it right. One of the interesting things that we see with the book of Luke is that one of his main themes is prayer. This gospel, more than any other, focuses on the prayer life of Jesus. What I want to point out to you today is that Luke portrays Jesus as praying before or during every important event in his life. Here are just a few examples. In chapter 3, verse 21, we see this. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. This is when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And what this shows us is that even in his baptism, Jesus was praying. It was a big event in his life, and he was praying about it. In chapter 6, verse 12, it says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. So Jesus goes out to this mountain to pray. And he not only just prays for a brief period of time, he prays all night. And what's the reason for this? Well, if we go on, it says this, and when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. So before he chose the 12 that followed him the closest, he was in prayer all night with God the Father. A big event, and Jesus is in prayer. Chapter 9, verse 28 says this, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And if we read further, we find that this is right before the transfiguration event on the mountain. So another big event in Jesus' life, and before it takes place, he is in prayer with God the Father. In Luke 22:40, we see this, and when he, this is Jesus, when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Well, where are we here in the gospel? Well, this is the Mount of Olives. This is right before Jesus is going to the cross, the night before Jesus is going to the cross. A huge event in his life. And what's he doing? He's praying. And he's praying that his disciples will not enter into temptation and that they will be faithful. The last example I want to show you is Luke chapter 23, verses 34. And Jesus says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is during his crucifixion. Jesus is on the cross, and he's praying to God the Father, "Please forgive these people, for they don't actually realize what they're doing." So yet we see another big event in the life of Jesus, and while it's going on, he's in prayer to God the Father. Think about that for a minute. If you remember back in John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus is God. And all of the Gospels, and even Jesus himself, continually reinforce this idea that Jesus is divine. And even with this being the case, Jesus is regularly in prayer with God the Father. In John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus says this. He says, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." So in other words, Jesus does nothing without first consulting God the Father. So it's what we just looked at. Big event, Jesus is in prayer. He's consulting with God the Father before he does anything. George Mueller had this fascinating quote, and George Mueller was a fascinating man, and he has a fascinating life story. If you don't know who George Mueller was, I encourage you to look that up. Fascinating story. But he had his quote on prayer. He said, "Only a life of prayer and meditation will render a vessel ready for the Master's use." Even Jesus modeled this. He was in constant prayer with God the Father so that he, as a vessel, would be ready for the Master to use. So here's the question. Do you see your position as a coach as God ordained? Does God have a hand in that? Would you consider the decisions that you make on a daily basis in regard to your program as important? That's a simple question. I know the answer is yes. Every coach looks at the decisions that he has to make about his program, and he considers them very important. So if you do see those as important, then I want to encourage you to follow the model of Jesus and pray about them. Be on a continual search to seek how God can use you in your position to have a profound impact on the lives that cross your path. Also, pray for your players. I want to leave you with this challenge today. Spend a few moments in your locker room each day lifting up your players in prayer. Like most coaches, you're the last one out of the building each and every day. So what's another few moments? Rotate lockers each day, lifting your players and your program up in prayer, asking God how he can use you in the unique situation that you're placed in. Imagine, if you do that for an entire school year, how much different does your program look? It's something to think about. Thanks again for joining us this week, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe as we attempt to grow our community. And also, check out our website at ultimateground.wixsite.com/website, where you can find information about our weekly Bible studies each Monday morning. And until next week, stand firm in the faith.